Welcome back, folks. Episode 21, Get a Grip on Lighting. Guess what? We smashed into Frankfurt. What did we do? We went to the Light and Build Germany show, man. And we saw our old friend, Randy Reed. We recorded a podcast. What did we talk about? Well, one of the things we figured out that is that Lumens as a Service is the wrong name. Huh? What are you talking about, Colligan? Well, you got to listen to the show to find out. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Kurtzon Lighting. That's KURTZON.com, man, or ZON.com for you Americans out there. Kurtzon.com. Who's Kurtzon? Well, Kurtzon is probably the number one luminaire manufacturer in North America, maybe the world. They have the highest specification grade luminaires in the market. They tackle all the tough environments, pharmaceutical, government, technology, and so on. They're union assembled by IBEW Local 134. And guess what, man? When I heard they were going to sponsor an episode, I went to their website to check them out. Scotty, throw that webpage up on the screen for the YouTube watchers out there. The first thing I noticed as I was kind of scrolling around the screen was the 5/10-year warranty. I loved it right away. You know why? How many times have you been looking at a warranty from a manufacturer and they say 10-year warranty? And then you dig through and you get to the 14th page or the 16th page and they back out the driver and they back out the LEDs and they back out the ballast or whatever. Kurtzon is being upfront right from the beginning. You don't have to go any further than the homepage of their website to find out what their warranty covers. I love that, man. You know why they do that? Because they've been in business for so long. For over 1 million hours, brother. Since 1898, they're almost as old as Canada. They're family owned for four generations. Four generations of management. That's unbelievable, man. You gotta go to KURTZON.com or KURTZON.com, depending if you're a Canadian or American, and check them out. Always remember that this show is brought to you by the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. That's NAILD.org. That's nail.org. Go there. Join us. Take some educational training, man. Don't be afraid to learn, man. If you want to get into this game, there's nothing better than a good LS1 to start you off. Take LS1, work for a bit, roll into LS2, maybe throw in some LS controls in there, and you'll be balling, man. But for now, listen to this episode. It's number 21. We got Randy Reed, Edison Report editor, live from the trade show floor in Frankfurt, Germany, baby. Welcome back, Randy Reed.
Thank you. It's good to be back, and I want to congratulate you guys on your success, okay? Since we spoke last time, a lot of people are talking about what you're doing. So I think you've really established yourself as kind of the leaders in podcasting in the lighting industry.
We appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, I'll tell you this, you know, we were walking around this show here, Randy, and, you know, we kind of rolled in here a little hot, ready to hook up and record, right? But I look around this show, and I was taking shuttle buses around to different venues. Has this thing gotten out of control? There's way too much going on.
No, I wouldn't say it's gotten out of control. I would say it is the number one show for the lighting industry in the world, bar none. Everybody's here.
Huh. So Germany's the number one show.
Germany. This is the number one show in the world.
So not Hong Kong, not Light Fair.
Not Hong Kong, not Light Fair. Light Fair is great for the U.S., for North America. That's what it's designed for. This is not designed for the German market or even the European market. This is designed for the global market.
Wow.
And why do you say that?
Well, many companies that don't exhibit here and don't even sell here are here.
Yeah.
We probably had 60 different companies just to stop by our booth and say hello.
Wow.
We're a pretty good location right here. But this is the global show, period.
Huh. I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. 11 buildings?
Yeah.
Three floors? I think 5,000 exhibitors? I don't know the numbers. But it's more than I'll be able to see the whole time I'm here.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's hard to keep track of. And that's kind of what Mike and I were talking about when it originally started. Share your light story.
Oh, so my first light fair was 2006 in Vegas.
Okay.
I stayed at Bally's with my wife. And okay. It was the first time I ever traveled for business. Like the first time where, you know, it's like I'm going to go to light fair. And I remember my dad was all proud of me.
Yep.
He's like, go to that light fair.
Go check it out.
And you could do the, it was what, half of the Las Vegas Convention Center was Light Fair.
Right.
And you could do that show in one day.
Yes, you could. Yes, you could. And of course, it was 2006. So yeah. It's pre-LED.
Pre-LED, yeah.
There was no so LEDs. There wasn't a whole lot of neat stuff at your show that year.
It was great. It was one of the best things I ever did was going to that show. But yeah, I mean, there wasn't a lot of, there was no, it was mostly traditional technologies, fluorescent, T5 and that. You know?
Yeah. And I think kind of back to Mike's original question, taking it another way, is has this lighting industry gotten out of control?
He doesn't think so. I think it is getting crazy.
We're talking show versus lighting. Let's talk about the industry. What do you think about that?
I don't think the industry is out of control.
No.
By any means. I think the industry is in a bit of a tough way right now.
Come on. Philips is changing its name to Signify.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they are.
Sylvania is Leadvance.
Yep.
Okay. GE's basically exit what? Stage right. Come on, man. This is getting crazy.
It's crazy, and there's consolidation, and I think there will be a new round of consolidation. I think there has to be.
A new round?
Yes. So we had consolidation, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago.
Okay.
And I think there's going to be quite a bit, and I think the industry needs it. I think there are too many players chasing too few opportunities.
Too many players chasing too few opportunities.
So what are we going to do about that, or how is that going to... What's the future going to look like?
Well, first of all, I do see the economy getting better.
Yep.
The luminaire manufacturers that I speak with say a switch kind of turned January 1st. Last year was a tough year. Specifically, the second half of last year was very tough on most of the companies. Not many, but on most of the companies. January 1st, orders began to let. Some of the jobs began to open up. We're hearing of some good shipment months. And I do think it is turning. Now, it's probably not turning fast enough. Mm-hmm. There probably is not enough business given all the fixture companies today.
So what are they going to do? They're going to consolidate down?
I believe they will.
And do a few large conglomerates?
No, we'll never. I don't think we'll ever consolidate down to a few large conglomerates. Yep. But we will follow perhaps the chip industry.
Yep.
And if you look at the new people that are entering into our industry, many of which are coming from the chip industry.
Yeah. They're starting into lighting business, just like that.
Right. So the new...
You're talking Asian semiconductor manufacturers.
No, I'm talking U.S. semiconductors. So the new guy at Philips, their new CEO for lighting, he came from Silicon Valley.
Okay.
The Cree CEO, he came from Silicon Valley. Leadvance, Silicon Valley.
What's the point of that, Nick?
Because we're moving away from lighting. I don't want to say we're moving away from lighting, but we're going beyond lighting.
Okay,
we're going beyond lighting. What else can we do with the lights? And so I do think it is smart to bring in these outsiders who don't suffer the same paradigms that I suffer and others suffer, and to get their opinions because they have seen such transformations in their industry. I think they can help us with the transformation. A lot of people think we've already gone through the transformation. We've gone through a transformation from legacy products to LED or to digital, but I do think another transformation is coming.
Has that got something to do with that Li-Fi you were telling us?
Well, I think Li-Fi is very exciting.
Huge, yes.
I love Li-Fi. I believe that Philips has also demonstrated it to a few key vendors. There might be one or two others demonstrated, but Li-Fi will help bring profitability back to the fixtures.
Can you sum up Li-Fi just for
sure.
us again?
Sure. Li-Fi is communicating with the internet, without RF, without radio waves, without Wi-Fi, Li-Fi, light fidelity. So the light actually speaks to a receiver that is attached to your laptop, and that is how you are getting the internet.
It's way more secure. What I've read about it is that the Li-Fi light won't go through walls.
Correct.
Right? And also, you were saying that it's faster because it's the speed of light?
Right. It can be exponentially faster. It's not today, but it can be exponentially faster. I've heard of speeds up to 1 gigabyte, perhaps by the end of this year. I think right now we hear about 24, maybe 48 megabytes per second.
Right.
But we can be up to 1 gigabyte by the end of the year. So it is faster. And let's speak about the security.
Okay.
I could pull up to your office, perhaps on a Sunday evening when no one is there.
Mm-hmm.
I might be able to hack into your Wi-Fi system. I might be able to.
Right.
With Li-Fi, I have to break into your building and sit underneath your light.
Well, not only that, though, but you're Randy Reed. There's people that you don't know that much about hacking into people's systems.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. We don't.
So there's people that do, though.
Yes, there are. There are. So there's speed and there's security. The trick, gentlemen, is going to be if we can get the receivers built into the devices. And now that Philips Lighting has entered, I think that's huge. And that will make the adoption go significantly faster. Because think about it. Philips already has relationships with these device manufacturers.
Sure.
Right? So if anybody can get the Li-Fi chips or receivers installed in our phones, tablets, and laptops, it'll be Philips.
But it will have to come from the light fixture itself, too. There'll have to be something built into it to make it Li-Fi enabled.
Yes. So in essence, you just take a Cat5 cable, plug it into your fixture, and that's it. You don't need electricity. Power over Ethernet. You plug the Cat5 in, and now you can actually get Li-Fi, communicate with the Internet. You can get light. You can do cameras, you can do motion, you can do dimming, you can do sound, acoustics, you can hear shotguns.
Well, let me ask you this. If you dim a Li-Fi lighting system, if you dim it, does it reduce the strength of the internet signal?
Typically not, but if you reduce it enough, you will eliminate the signal.
Okay.
You do have to have light. That's right. It. But I've seen experiments where it's gone from 100% to 80% and it doesn't affect the speed.
Okay. So you can have, or you could even have a spotlight shining on an internet signal somewhere in the corner and that would be enough.
Yes, you could.
You wouldn't need your general lighting system, do you?
You would not need a general lighting. Correct? So think about a desk lamp.
This could be the most revolutionary technology in
years. Today, a very nice desk lamp for architectural grade might sell for $200 or $300.
Sure.
With Li-Fi, it's going to sell for $800 or $900. Okay? Because they're going to get that benefit and they'll be willing to pay it. So you don't have to do the whole office. You just do a light at key workstations.
Wow.
Now think about this. In the old days when I would travel 20 years ago, as the internet was evolving, I would call a hotel to see if they had Wi-Fi. And if they had Wi-Fi, I'm going to try to stay there because I didn't want to do the dial-up on AOL.
Yeah, sure.
Now I can see certain hotels offering Li-Fi as a benefit. And yes, the affluent traveler, the business traveler, that person may be willing to pay a little bit more for that room to have Li-Fi.
Yeah.
To be able to go that much faster.
Mm. Do you think it's something that will drastically change the industry? Do you see an average office building saying, I'm going to change my fixtures now so they're Li-Fi enabled?
I do.
You do?
And what we're trying to do in our industry is obviously continue to upgrade. So throughout our history, we would convince people to go from mercury to high pressure sodium to metal halide to LED.
Yep.
We would go from fluorescent T12 to T8 to T5 to LED.
Yep.
Now they're LED and they're going to last 50,000 hours, 100,000 hours. So we've got to find something, a reason to make them change. And this technology with Li-Fi could very well do that.
And what's the story going to be? It's not going to be a payback story.
It won't be payback. That's that. We're, as an industry, we're trying to get away from the energy story.
Yep.
The energy story has served us well, but now it's killing us.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't need to continue talking about the most efficient or dollars per lumen.
Right.
Let's really get back to quality of light and many of the features
that
light can bring.
Yeah, the efficiency's there.
The efficiency's there.
But so how does Li-Fi kind of blend in with human-centric lighting? Like that, I think that's where it starts to get really interesting, is when you're talking Li-Fi and you're talking a human-centric lighting system. Now the lighting system is monitoring the results of its own human-centric lighting capabilities.
That's pretty deep. So in July, there will be a desk lamp launched.
That is pretty deep.
It really is a deep thought.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
You're ahead of your time.
Aha. In July, there will be a desk lamp launched, Li-Fi. So all you do is you plug in your Cat5 cable and it's ready. And it's color tunable.
Wow.
So you bring that desk lamp everywhere you go?
No.
It could.
No.
But you could.
You could.
Yeah.
Theoretically, you could.
It goes back to the one I was talking about. You have a floating light above you and that's your light everywhere you go.
That's a halo.
Yeah.
It's
just
a halo.
You bring that everywhere you go.
But you got to have the Cat5 cable.
Okay, that part.
So you got a long tail.
Right.
Maybe the Li-Fi is Wi-Fi. I don't know.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. You're a marketing guy.
Maybe yeah. The Li-Fi is Wi-Fi, bro. It's Wi-Fi enabled Li-Fi.
Yeah.
And it's human centric. Whoa. How do you sell all this stuff? I feel like it's Star Trek here.
Yeah. It is. These are exciting times. Very exciting times in our industry.
Yeah.
What we have to do, we have to move very fast, because with Big China LED and what is happening to the hardware costs, right, they continue to drop.
Yep.
Let's face it, they continue to drop, and the margins that the industry earns are continuing to drop on commodity-based product.
Yeah.
So we have got to get into the software business, and I think we can make even higher margins.
Do you think it's important to have a lighting background to be successful in the future of lighting?
Well, it depends on what your role is, but I would say it's less important than it used to be.
Yeah.
What's important is relationships. It's still a people business. So if you have that lighting background, you at least will have the friendships and the relationships to help go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Having different backgrounds is always good, but it's a little bit hard to break in because you don't know the people.
Yeah.
For example, because I've been in this for too many years, where people walk by, I know them, quickly say hello, stop and visit. I could have a very important target customer to walk by if I'm new in the industry, not even know who they are. And there they walk by.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think it's the relationships are really more important than the industry experience. You can learn the features and benefits relatively easy. What you can't quickly learn are the people.
Yeah. Now, do you see this lumens as a service model taking off at all?
I think they named it wrong.
Okay.
Let's start there.
What should it be?
It's Lux as a service.
Why?
Because Lux is the usable light.
Okay.
It's not lumens. Lumens is anachronistic, going back to a metal halide and all this kind of stuff. How much light's actually coming out. It's Lux as a service. People are going to... That's why that accounting guy at the nail convention couldn't get it right. Because lumens is the amount of light a lamp emits.
Yeah.
Lux is what you get.
The deliverable light. How much
delivered
light?
Delivered light. Yeah. Delivered lumens. So it's Lux as a service.
What
That's
do you
what
think?
We think.
Change it?
Come on, man.
First of all, you're right on.
Boom.
You're right on.
Boom.
And let's speak about that. In the U.S., we talk about foot candles.
Okay.
Okay.
We're the only foot candles as a service.
Feeder meters. Foot candles is ancient, right?
Okay.
Foot candles. My God, that's from the amount of light you get from a candle.
Yeah.
We've evolved beyond candles.
Yes.
So why do we talk about foot candles? The rest of the world talks about Lux.
Okay.
So we need to have a worldwide metric.
It's kind of a snobby move.
No.
For a U.S. institution to go metric is a little bit snobby.
I disagree. It's kind of snobby not to. It's kind of snobby not to.
Yeah.
It's like we're the U.S., so we have our own foot candles, for God's sakes.
And miles and inches. Like, come on. There's 100 centimeters in a meter. There's 1,000 meters in a kilometer.
Yeah, you're blowing me
away. It's pretty easy here.
Okay.
So now we're selling Lux as a service.
Yes, Lux as a service. It never has taken off yet.
Mm-hmm. You know why? Because it shouldn't.
Why?
Because it's an accounting scam.
It's not a scam.
It's an accounting scheme. You affix that light fixture to real property. It is an asset.
Scheme or scam?
You cannot claim that the light, it's difficult from an accounting perspective to claim that the light output is what you're paying for and not the presence of the fixture attached to real property. That's the problem. It's an accounting issue. You can't do it. The IRS doesn't want you to do it. The Canada Revenue Agency doesn't want you to do it. That's what the Rocky Mountain Institute's report was about.
Yeah.
Was like coaching at the nail convention. They came and they were coaching us on how to do the accounting of Lux as a service. Okay? So if you've affixed an asset to real property, your invoice has to state that you're... This is why lumens doesn't work. Lumens indicates that the thing is affixed to real property and you're paying for it because it produces light.
Okay.
Whereas Lux, the amount of light you need is actually possible. You could actually have a legal case where you could say, okay, I guarantee you this much Lux in your parking lot, Randy Reed.
Then we could do it.
Yes.
Is that your point?
No, lumens can't.
You can't do it with
lumens.
All we have to do is change one word, and it begins with the same letter L, so it's fairly easy to do.
It begins with the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast.
If we do Lux, you're saying the accounting issues go away.
Go away.
In spite of that, there are still issues.
What are the other issues?
The other issues is getting people to pay for a service when they're used to paying for a product.
Right.
Why lease a car instead of buy a car?
Right. And personally, I don't believe in leasing cars. I buy cars.
I buy them too.
I think it's a much better model. But in lighting, there can be. But we as an industry, we need that. Why?
Well,
because
on.
We need the recurring revenue.
Randy, you also, you know what else you believe
in? I'm making
in?
A huge point. Recurring revenue.
Yeah.
Right. It's so important to our industry.
Subscription-based, yes.
Okay.
You got a subscription-based is the most valuable business.
Yes.
The problem is you don't believe in it either. You know why, Randy? Because by definition, you've never sold this. You've always sold a light fixture as an asset.
Correct.
So you also believe in the old model 100%. Right.
And personally, I don't lease anything that I can buy.
Right.
Because I just don't believe in it personally.
Right. So why don't
but
you
I want
stop
my customers.
Selling light fixtures and start only leasing?
I think I'd go broke.
Exactly.
I think I would go broke. But I want to find, there are many people that lease cars, right? There are many people. I want to find those people who believe in leasing. I personally do not think it's a good model for my financial standing, but there are people who do, so let's find those people. Because the industry used to get recurring revenue when the light bulbs and the ballasts failed.
It was
the lighting they don't do that anymore.
Lighting was a pseudo-subscription industry.
Yes, yes
it was.
It was
a pseudo-subscription industry.
Mark, exactly right.
I told you, man.
No, you're right.
Randy would agree with me, I told you. Randy would agree with me on that.
I do agree. We got to find a way to get there.
How do we do it, man? I want to get there right now.
You know, Phillips tried a few years ago in a big way. I don't know that it was successful. I believe they still will offer that. But I don't know of anyone who has been successful. I do think that IES published a video the other day of lighting as a service, and I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it. But we've got to find new ways to get revenue.
So
software is one. Li-Fi is one. Indoor global positioning is another. We can touch on that.
Indoor global positioning by Li-Fi?
No, not by Li-Fi. Separate. Because Li-Fi is two-way communication.
Okay.
Indoor global positioning is one way.
Okay.
Okay? It's just the lights kind of tracking you throughout the store. Or throughout wherever you're going. So imagine a young person, goes to college. The first day of school, they walk in the door. Their phone knows their schedule, so their phone can actually send them to the classroom.
Yeah.
Right? Now they're not going to get lost. Now once they arrive in the classroom, the lights can detect how many people are actually in the classroom. Okay, you've got X percentage. Let's go ahead now and turn on the HVAC. Now in the U.S., we expect the room to be comfortable before we walk in.
Right.
But the rest of the world, when I travel, you go to meetings, people enter the room, the first thing they do is they turn on the HVAC for that particular room. They don't typically condition empty rooms and empty buildings along the rest of the
Why
world.
Why are Americans so self-deprecating? Why is that? I mean, I'm a Canadian, and I look at Americans.
I know.
And Americans are constantly apologizing for being American.
I'm not apologizing. It's just that, if you think about, this is why I love to travel worldwide, because you do see different things.
But America is the greatest force for good in the history of humankind. Period, end of the story. You cannot historically say otherwise.
Done. Agreed. 100%.
So why don't Americans know that?
Like, we do know it, but there are ways we can improve. We can always do better.
Right, yes.
We can always do better.
Yes. But why are
Americans... why do we air-condition vacant rooms all over
our country?
Because
you're rich as hell, dude. That's why. That's why you can afford to do it. That's the first step. Stop affording to do it. Raise the price of energy. That would be the first thing. Put a carbon tax on it. Do something like that. Ooh.
But let's not get into socialism right now.
We'll keep that out.
Indoor global positioning.
Yeah. Same deal, Randy. Same deal. We can cut out whatever you want, by the way.
Yeah.
Same deal. Okay?
That's good.
All right.
I'm enjoying the conversation. I really am.
Yeah.
But
you never know. People are going to listen to this thing. You're the number one listened to podcast we have.
Ahead of Mariana?
Close. Well, Mariana's no. I mean,
okay.
Not anymore.
Okay.
Not anymore.
Okay.
Not anymore.
Okay.
But of all podcasts.
But she's brilliant. She's brilliant. So I'm honored to be, I could be in the same category with her.
Tina was, at the time, Tina Halfpenny was downloaded like crazy as well. But
she's very smart.
So are you.
Tina Halfpenny is very smart. We are not the
She's a business executive.
We are not the best friend of Design Lights Consortium.
Sure, we know that.
But I do think that she is smart and she's fair, and I think she does a good job with them.
I would agree 100%. I think she's a good business manager. She's the right person in the right job. It's a tough job.
Right.
She's not a lighting person. She doesn't come from where we came from.
Right.
But, I mean, they're performing a role. that that needs, well, Greg's convinced needs to be performed. I'm not sure if you're
I think to some degree. Kind of keeping on the newer technology and the Li-Fi and all that. When do you think this is going to be a realistic sale?
The issue is, as I said, getting the devices with the receivers built in. I would say, I'm going to guess, 3 years.
3 years from now.
I think because of Philips. I am so excited about Philips being in this industry. There was a conference in Paris.
Signify, by the way.
Signify. We can still call them Philips Lighting today. Yeah. Okay, they've just announced the new name. I don't think that they're implementing the new name.
Okay.
By the way, though, you know, we had a $500 bounty to try to get the name, to get their name before they Edison Report. $500 bounty.
That's why we love you, Ray.
We had a lot of people trying. We couldn't get it.
You put up a wanted sign, like the brown.
We spread the word.
Yeah,
we spread the word, and we did not get it. But I will tell you that about 10 to 15 minutes after they announced it, somebody snuck in and shot a video.
Yeah.
So they have a video, Philips Lighting becomes Signify, showing on a sheet. They were showing it on a sheet, just practicing, like with a Proxima projector. And somebody caught that for us and sent it to us.
Nice.
And so we posted, we've had like 600 views on it as well. And then, of course, now you can go
in and
see it.
So before you started Edison Report, you were running the CIA?
No.
No, I was not. No, I was not.
But we, again, we have a lot of sources out there. We've been doing this long enough, and people will send us stuff.
Okay.
So we like that.
But you're saying a three-year deal, and we're going to make this a realistic
sale. I think so. And it's fascinating.
Oh, man. It's mind-blowing.
I mean, think about it. I'm here in the show, and we do have Li-Fi.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Li-Fi in our booth,
and
we are riding through Li-Fi. But then, when I go to a Philips press conference, they some neat stuff. I want to tweet about it, and I can't get it on. I can't get a damn signal.
Need Li-Fi.
With Wi-Fi.
Right.
I can't get a signal, right? 100,000 people here. It's very hard to get reliable Wi-Fi internet. Yeah. Now, you think about all the IoT and the billions of devices. I heard, I believe it was a Philips press conference, they're talking about needing 50 to 100 times the transmission poles that we have with IoT rolling. And it continues the way it is. So this is where Li-Fi comes in.
Now, do you think Li-Fi in a general space where there maybe is three light fixtures over you, would you need all three of those to be Li-Fi enabled?
No.
You could do one.
Yes.
Just
one.
As long as you have a signal.
But the issue is now you're going to move. Now you're going to walk around.
Right.
And I'm not going to be under point A. I'm going to now go over to point C. I need it over there.
So you'd say people would more likely put it on everything.
Right. It's like in this show. So I've got pretty good Wi-Fi here in the foyer of Hall 4.2. But when I walk deep into the show, I lose it. It's gone.
Yep. I love the signal.
That's a volume thing. That's a volume of people on the Wi-Fi. So there's only so much room.
It's volume and it's distance.
Is it distance as well?
With Wi-Fi.
Yes.
With Li-Fi, you wouldn't have that issue.
I can't believe we're going to a place where the lighting industry is turning into the communications industry. Like, it's almost like the lighting industry might be a utility. Like light, instead of providing lux at dark times, it's going to provide a communications network for people.
Yeah, I think the key is lighting in the future is going to be more than lighting.
Beyond lighting.
Beyond lighting.
Beyond lighting. Now, let's talk about those communication companies. When are they going to start buying companies? When are we going to see Google buy a few lighting companies?
You think that's realistic?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Especially those companies, I think the Google and the Apples kind of want to own all of the real estate.
Amazon type.
Amazon. And I would think when one of them makes a move, you'll see a few others make a move.
But who would they go for in this instance?
I don't want to speculate, but they go for the biggest.
They go for the
biggest. Or the smartest.
Yeah. But I think the biggest. And perhaps the biggest are the smartest. I don't know. But I think they'd go for the big ones.
So do you think everything as an industry is just going to go one? I mean, everything's getting consolidated.
It's going to be one big singularity.
Everybody's going to be Google, Amazon, Apple.
I take a lot of my Edison Report income and I buy Amazon stock.
Yeah, right move.
Right or wrong.
Yeah.
And it's done real well.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world. You know, it's funny. Wow. Whoa. We're at a different level, bro.
Yeah. No, it's good.
We're going to another level.
Yep.
You want to talk about mercury vapor, Greg?
What's that?
You want to talk about some metal halide, ceramic metal halide or something?
Right.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Jeff Bezos, he's going to take over the lighting business?
Yeah, so what can the average lighting person do now to be prepared for the future? What do you see it as?
Well, learn.
Learn
everything you can. And this is why I'm so big on Li-Fi and the indoor global positioning. I think this is where the future is headed. Bluetooth mesh is another upcoming technology.
Bluetooth mesh.
Yeah. And I'm emphasizing the word mesh. Do you know why?
I know why, yes.
Very good.
Explain, though, if you can.
Okay, because typical Bluetooth is one point source. So I communicate my phone. Exactly. One-on-one.
Yep.
Now, with mesh, I'm going to talk to this fixture that's directly above me, who's going to talk to the one that's 25 feet away. Who's going to talk to one 25 feet away, who could talk to one in the parking lot.
Yep.
Okay, it can just go on and on, because I'm not talking to the one in the parking lot, but they're relaying messages to each other. So this is what Bluetooth mesh can really help. Now, here's something else. Everybody has Bluetooth on their phone, so we're all familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
Easy, right? No routers, no boxes, no junctions, none of that stuff. You just put the fixtures up, and you communicate with your phone. Now, as a luminaire manufacturer, you don't have to send an engineer to do the commissioning. The end user can do the commissioning. This is what has been lacking in our previous systems, because they've been so complex.
Mm-hmm.
And different companies have their own systems. And this is why I think the IoT in lighting really hasn't gained traction so much. Hue has done a very good job, because they're compatible with just about everything. And now they're compatible with Google Home, Hey Google. They're compatible with Alexa. I believe they're compatible with the Apple HomeKit as well, and that's very smart. So with Bluetooth mesh, now anybody can do it, and you don't need to send an engineer to commission the site.
The product itself has to have the Bluetooth mesh device built into it?
Correct.
Is that what it is?
Correct. Okay. Now think about this. Think about the billions of sockets out there right now that can easily be retrofitted.
Yep.
Okay? We don't need a complete new fixture. We can just put a small sensor in each fixture, and now they're Bluetooth compatible. So again, it builds a whole new revenue stream, new opportunities for our industry.
Yep, and so you can retrofit those right in the existing fixtures.
Right now, I believe July of 2017 is when the Bluetooth SIG came out with their standard and published it.
We're actually doing one of the jobs right now with the mesh network, Bluetooth mesh network, where each fixture speaks to the next fixture and it creates a mesh.
But you bought the fixtures Bluetooth mesh enabled.
No, the fixture manufacturer, we're bringing the company that makes the Bluetooth mesh and the fixture manufacturer together for the client. And we're like, put those in that, and this guy gets what he wants.
So let us know when you do that. We'd like to cover that.
Edison Report.
Yeah, we'd love to cover that. We want to get as much news as we can on Bluetooth mesh, because it's going to dramatically, I think, help our industry.
What specific device is it that makes it Bluetooth mesh enabled? Do you know?
It's like Bluetooth 6.1 or some version.
I mean, it's a chip that you insert into the fixture.
Well, it's a radio antenna, dude. Yep. It's a radio antenna that communicates with multiple antennas around it, and as long as it's connected with two or more antennas, it's connected to the entire mesh, the network.
Sure.
Very good. Picture like a hockey net with points, right? So as long as you're tied into that hockey net, you're into the hockey net.
Yeah.
Right? So whether the fixture is in looking down on Edison Report in Building 4.2 or over there in the hotel, and there's their mesh goes in between the two, they're communicating, and they know where you are.
Yeah.
Hockey. Canadians, you got to have another sport other than hockey to talk about.
Come on, Randy.
That's about it.
Randy, we don't got much. But you know what? There's no small country in the world that owns a sport like Canada owns hockey. We own it, bro.
Australia owns rugby. France and cycling?
I thought that American guy was running.
Well, you just got to drug it up.
Is that right? I think Canada owns hockey like nobody owns any other sport.
Okay. I would give you that.
Well, thank you. We own it.
So what's the most interesting thing you've seen at the show, Randy?
I've talked about Li-Fi, but I would say some of the Bluetooth mesh demos and the indoor global positioning.
It's all controls.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's all about software and IoT.
Do you think there's ever another technology that will take over LED?
Ooh. Great question. You know, we always thought OLED would until a few years ago. And
so OLED's out.
I don't know that OLED is out. OLED, like many technologies, has its place. You know, I'm a plasma guy.
Yeah.
Plasma still has a
light
place.
Emitting plasma.
A small yeah, sure. place.
What about laser
growth,
and all that?
Growth. But I would say that OLED will be a, continue to be a small player. So laser, maybe so. Maybe so. But, yeah. I mean, right? There will always be new inventions. There will always be new inventions.
Yeah, but there are also times when an industry goes through a complete transformation. So you could say there will always be there'll always be inventions. So yeah, we invented metal halide in the 60s or whatever, right? There's always inventions, but then industries get transformed, right? And that's what's happening to lighting right now. It's going from accountants are trying to figure out a way. They're trying to figure out a way to get it to not be a capital cost.
Right.
Like, they're trying to make it something you expense on a monthly basis. That's crazy, Randy. That's turning the thing upside down.
But the industry needs to continue to look at new technology. I'll give you one example. I visited a company the other day in Kenosha, Wisconsin, Kenall Lighting.
Yep.
They have a division called Indigo Clean. And they are cleaning hospital rooms while the patients are in there with light.
Come on, man.
With light.
How?
So they have a certain kind of blue light, this indigo spectrum, that will kill bacteria. And I want to be careful to not say viruses. It doesn't kill viruses. I believe it kills bacteria. So they mix that with different colors, and they come up with white. So you're sitting under what you think is white light, but there's an awful lot of blue in there that is killing the germs.
Really?
Now, you leave the room, the occupancy detects that you have left the room, and now it turns it to deep blue. And now it's doing a deep clean.
Really?
So operating rooms.
It's getting nasty.
Operating
it's just
rooms.
Wrecking everything.
Operating
yeah,
rooms.
Yeah, dude.
This is where these deep infections. So if you get a knee replacement or a hip replacement and you leave the hospital with a knee infection, it's pretty well caused by your surgery, and that's going to cost the hospital maybe $100,000 to fix that. So there are great opportunities in that area. And Kenall, through Indigo Clean, is really carving out that niche. Now, let's go the opposites. A lot of people don't want blue. We don't want the blue because of melatonin and circadian rhythms. So you have Seoul Semiconductor, and they have a new chip called Sunlight, and they have cut out the blue. See, we're always putting phosphor to try to hide the blue. Well, they have cut out the blue. So if you look at their spectral distribution curve, their blue is the same peak as every other color. So there are ways that the industry, through new technology, can continue to evolve and continue to be profitable.
Would you rather be in lighting in 1992 right now or in this age?
No, today.
That's a great question.
Today. Who would? Who wants to be around in 1992? And I was. I was selling F40s.
Yep. I was in high school.
Yeah. Right. So I was selling F40 Cool White. And to really save the customer energy, we'd sell them what was called a Wattmeiser.
Yeah,
so instead of 40 watts, 34. These are 34 watts.
34 watts,
exactly.
Baby. Come on.
And that was my pitch, man. You'd save 6 watts of energy. And look at what we're doing now, saving 75% energy.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy.
But again, we don't want to focus on energy savings.
Yes, we do. Come on,
let's save 75% energy. Let's clean the room. Let's give them Li-Fi, and let's make it color tunable.
We're talking a whole transformation of everything we've learned
over
the
years. Well, you think about this way. So you
energy
think about,
efficiency.
Like, think about this, okay? So... Yeah. If you go what light is, right? So all the energy in the world right now is from the sun. Comes from the light from the sun. Fossil fuels.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So all the gas we burn and everything we call, all the coal we burn actually came originally from light.
Okay.
Yep.
Right? And so now we're realizing, hey, we're shining light on people all the time. And we can transmit information over that perfect beam of light. We can count how many people are in the space. We can turn off the HVAC. We can disinfect the room. We can clean it. We can do all sorts of things with that. With that, like it's almost like even the point we're at now with LEDs is still the candle. We haven't even figured out what light can do yet, man.
The hard part is we're never going to be able to do measurable, definable benefits.
No, it's going to be...
Anymore. Dude, if it's not energy efficiency,
how are you going to prove enough yet.
Is that
okay,
it?
Okay, so how much bacteria do we kill per minute?
I don't know.
Okay, so so that's a metric.
Yes.
That
true?
Is a metric.
True.
How fast can we communicate with the internet? That is a metric.
How do you put value to that?
It's easy. Those two things are easy to put value to. I mean, those two things are easy.
I do think you could. I mean, productivity?
Yeah, for sure.
I think everybody's different.
Dude, so I do think you can measure benefits of light other than energy.
Okay.
I think we're at the candle. I think we're still, like, where light's going. If you're right with this Li-Fi thing, if it's true, and it can kill bacteria, it can replicate the circadian
rhythm.
Again,
it's not Li-Fi killing bacteria.
No, I get it.
Careful.
No, but, no, but everything in
right.
there,
right.
like, you think about, we're shining lights on ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
If you can actually access that and do something with that, like communicate, make shine certain types of light on people at certain times, and you can clean a room, dude, there's the applications are absolutely endless for that.
Dr. Mariana Figueria from the Lighting Research Center, who we mentioned earlier, she showed me a video of a tractor in Florida at night driving over a strawberry field using, I believe it was UVC.
Okay.
And the strawberries had to be exposed to UVC for just a few seconds, and it kills the bugs, kills the fungus growing on them. Okay? So now, chemicals, no, we don't need chemicals, we just need light.
Wow.
Okay, so that's an experiment, another thing that they are working on that I find fascinating.
Well, you can bathe things in light, Randy.
Yes, you can.
You can bathe things in light.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Different deal now. You got to be ready for it. Learn everything you can now.
Learn everything
apply
you can.
It when you can.
And, you know, I saw a guy from a major conglomerate,
mm-hmm.
and he's here at the show, and he says, Randy, you didn't see me here. What do you mean? You didn't see me here. Okay? I don't want my company to know that I came here.
Well,
and he took vacation time.
Front page of the Edison Report?
No. We respect people's privacy.
Very good.
He, a major conglomerate, he took vacation time to come here. Because on his own, he is going to be a more valuable employee by learning. Doesn't want his company to know that he did that.
Yeah.
But he's doing it, and he's here to learn. And I really admire that.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Wow. Very impressive.
Wow, light is becoming definitely a crazy new business, man.
It is.
I don't know where to go from here, man. I think that might be a
trade
podcast.
Shows.
Come on,
yeah.
man. Okay, I'm going to change gears completely.
Change gears.
Okay, because... I just had like one of those, you know what I'm talking about, Gregor?
Yep.
Okay, where are we at? 3:45, 50 minutes?
10.
Okay, so can you tell me about the promises for a second? Manufacturer's warranties. I've been telling Greg we need to do a show called Manufacturer's Warranties, Promises.
Don't know why you want to lift up that dark curtain.
Oh, man, Randy.
Because it's a dark curtain, and we
exactly.
need to know.
That's where you get a grip on letting go, man.
10-year warranties.
Come on, man.
But you got to read the fine print.
Yeah, man.
And they're prorated.
Yeah.
And they don't pay labor. And I agree with the not paying labor. But they're prorated. And you've got to really... then there are some people you have to register. Aha, you didn't register your warranty. Then there are some people that say, you have to present us a letter. If the thing fails in 5 years, 5 years from now, you have to present this letter to us in order to get your warranty. And I hate it. I wish we were not at a 10-year warranty.
Do you think it's going to go back? Do you think it was five, now it went to 10, is it going
to
go back down?
It's hard to go back. That's just it. And I talked to some people that really promote that 10-year warranty, and they say it helps them close orders.
Gross.
And, you know, the bigger companies can do this because they'll say, well, the Chinese... The smaller companies you've never heard of, they're not going to be here in 10 years.
Right.
So I do understand they use it as a marketing tool. They should be able to use it as a marketing tool. But to warrant your product for 10 years with lightning strikes, with abuse, with the fact that people move the fixtures and abuse the fixtures.
Especially in a tough environment where you're dealing, where resilience dealing.
Yeah. We do a 7-year warranty.
Seven.
We do a 7-year warranty.
Did it originally start as five?
We start at seven.
Started right off?
We start at seven.
Okay.
I'm not going to do the 10 because I just don't want the exposure for 10 years.
Yeah.
But we do seven.
So, but would you agree that the lighting industry has not communicated all of this to the end user customer very well?
Because the lighting industry has experience with the electrical contractors dramatically abusing such policies. So there's a site and somebody has a bit of infant mortality and maybe 10% of the fixtures will fail. Then the contractor will say, yeah, you know, I can only get on there on nights and weekends. Yeah, it's got to be union. Oh, by the way, I'm the only authorized contractor allowed to work on site, so you have to go through me. And usually all three of those are not true.
Mm.
And it's just a way that they are gouging the luminaire manufacturer.
You know what, though? So we're in the middle. We're in between the luminaire manufacturer and the contractor.
It's the worst spot to be.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Because they count on us, and we count on them.
And so we'll get fed a line of... So Canada has 347 volt.
Right.
Right?
We know.
Oh, baby, that's lots of fun. Every time there's you overvolted that, son. You put that light on 600 volt, didn't you? No, I didn't. There was a metal halide there for 25 years running on 347 volt. Then there was a T5 on that running on 347 volt. Then I put your LED luminaire on that thing in 2015, and now it's out.
Yeah.
It ain't 600 volt, son.
Okay. But maybe your HID did get a few voltage spikes.
It could handle
it. And the HID could handle it.
Right.
And the LED cannot. So now most people put voltage, not suppressors, but put voltage regulators in their fixtures.
Sure.
And that does help with the situation.
That big core and coil ballast could handle.
It really could.
Could handle.
And so LED isn't suitable for all applications.
What would you say it's not suitable for, if you could...
Where the heat, where you have too much heat, that's the other issue. And so now, many of them will have a little thermal strip inside, so we can, as a manufacturer, we can go back and say, you know, we're rated at 60 degrees C. We saw above 60 degrees C.
Yeah, wouldn't this thing have turned purple.
Exactly.
If it didn't go
above. So yeah. I don't know what happened, but I can just tell you that this fixture got above 60 degrees C and therefore voided our warranty.
So here's the other thing, too, that's in it. So the actual luminaire manufacturers, okay, these guys are also having trouble with the driver manufacturers.
Okay.
Right? So there's we're in between the contractor and the LED manufacturer, and then the luminaire manufacturer is in between us and the driver manufacturer. And Greg was saying last show that lighting's about pointing fingers at everybody.
I don't buy it.
No?
It's the luminaire manufacturer, period.
Is that right?
It should be the luminaire manufacturer, period. Now, it's up to them to do whatever they have to do with the driver. They're the ones that chose the driver. They're the ones that install the driver, so they are responsible for the driver. So if your fixture fails because of a driver, you shouldn't have to go back to the driver company. You go to the luminaire manufacturer, and they need to solve
the luminaire manufacturer saying that the driver company is not supporting the warranty.
That's exactly what I think. The luminaire manufacturer has to make it whole.
It's their
responsibility. So don't let them do that.
Yeah.
But what percent of the time is it the driver's fault? 99?
Most. But again, it's the luminaire manufacturer that has evaluated, tested, and approved that driver.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Same on them if they approved a bad driver.
Promises, man. That's what I said.
And I mean, I'm a former driver guy, right? Yeah. I spent a lot of time with that and a lot of warranty issues, unfortunately. But it is the luminaire manufacturer is the one who sold the fixture. The end user, he could care less whose driver it is.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't have to worry about that.
I agree with that 100%. Yep. I think that's 100%.
So you hold your luminaire manufacturer accountable.
Done. Randy
Done.
Said so.
Kurtzon Lighting. Visit KURTZON.com, man. Kurtzon.com. Why are you going to go there? Well, because Kurtzon has always been an industry leader in serving the needs of companies and institutions seeking high-quality, energy-saving lighting products, man. They were the first to manufacture luminaires for extreme and harsh environments, and to this day, they are on the cutting edge of new lighting technologies. They're independently tested and manufactured to the highest standards. Kurtzon's specification grade lighting is an asset to any customers that want quality, reliability, day after day, year after year. How do you know, man? because they've been in business since 1898, more than a million hours, man. People throw hours around in this business. They throw them around, 50,000 hours here, 25,000 hours there, 100,000 hours. These guys have been in business for over a million hours, man. Go to KURTZON.com, man. Founded in 1898. Family owned and operated since then. The highest specification grade luminaires in the market, man. Come on, man. Union assembled by IBEW Local 134. Visit KURTZON.com, KURTZON.com. That's Z for my comedian friends, but KURTZON.com. And as always, this podcast is the official podcast of the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Visit NAILD.org. That's nailed.org. Come on, man. Get down there. Join us, brother. What are you doing? Come on down to a convention. Take some educational products. We're talking about LS1. We're talking about LS2. We're talking about LS controls, man. Nail.org. Go to NAILD.org for information. Call them up. Let's go, man. Let's do it. And Tom Butters down at the IES, he was talking to me. He's got a new thing coming out called Lights of the Round. It's actually already out. You go to IES.org. You click on the education, then you go to the Indispensable Lighting Series and you click on Lights of the Round. I listened to the episode. It's pretty darn good, that first one. Check it out, IES.org, click, 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 and you'll be there. And thanks to Randy Reed. Come on, Randy. You got the best hair in the lighting business. You also have the best news site in the lighting business, Edison Report. Go to edisonreport.net to check out all the latest news on lighting news, who's hiring who's firing who's acquiring who. It's Edison Report, the original and best. Sayonara for now.